Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Lorecast, a roleplay-based podcast where we talk about just that, roleplay. Today's Lorecast is episode 3, and our special guest is Shaw from Earthenring. For more episodes and flashcasts, please visit our website at www.lorecast.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thelorecast, and our Twitter at twitter.com/erlorecast. We really hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you so much for listening.
It's good to see you again. Pull up a chair by the hearth.
Hey guys, this is Kanta from Lorecast, back at you with our actual full episode today. We have Buttface over here as always.
I think he's referring to me.
Yes, I am. And we actually have a special guest today. Where is he?
I don't know. Did we lose him?
I'm here.
Hello!
Listen to the sound of my voice.
Who is this special guest?
Check my license.
What?
We're actually going in and out. Come a little closer.
Come a little closer to the light.
Come a little closer.
All right,
it's okay.
Guys.
Group hug.
Group hug.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. This is Sullivan / Shaw.
Shaw. I know that voice. That name.
That's
like I've heard it before.
So Sullivan / Shaw, and we're just going to call you Shaw because that's shorter, is a long-term or veteran, whatever word you want to use it, role player from server, Earthenring. And we wanted to bring him on the show because he's run a recurring event on Hordeside for 12 years. Which is kind of a big deal.
12 years?
Yes.
I've been playing this game for 11 years. Almost 12.
You were 12 when you started playing the game.
I was, actually. Actually, I was 13, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. Almost.
Same thing. Honestly, same thing when it comes down to it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, 13, 12, you're just a little whippersnapper.
Oh, leave me alone.
By the way, my name isn't actually Buttface.
It is.
It's not. This is Ari. Hi, guys. But if you already know that...
I don't think they would have ever known that.
No, just make sure... I mean, if my name ends up being Buttface, I guess I gotta roll.
I mean, I'm okay with it personally, just saying. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I feel just fine with that.
We're not putting it up to a vote.
I think we should.
All right, well then, let's let the votes happen.
Shaw, what do you think?
I'll have to side with the lady.
Oh, that hurts, bro.
You're welcome.
That hurts. Oh, man.
I got called a lady.
Something you aren't. She's a robot. For those who don't know that joke, don't worry too much about it. Don't read too much into about it. Just know that she is a robot, has no feelings, and is a disembodied voice.
I am a disembodied voice here on the internet. Can't just be sore because I've been kicking his butt in PvP and other things.
You leave me alone now. We got a podcast to do. There's no more making fun of me.
Okay, we're stopping. We're going to stop making fun of Kanta, stop calling me Buttface, and we're going to focus on Shaw, who... wonderfully agreed to sit here while
somehow
we go at each other.
Are we sure we didn't bribe him?
Group hug.
Shaw, what is she paying you?
What?
What is she paying you, Shaw, to be here?
I think it's hugs right now.
Oh, just hugs? Okay, that's in our budget.
Yes, we have a great...
I try to help.
So, Shaw, though, let's actually talk to you and what you've really done. And it's more than just the 10 years of hosting a roleplay event, but you also run a website called RP Made Simple, which I think we could talk a little bit about as well. And you also maintain a lot of threads on the Earthenring server forums, and you've pretty much been doing that for as long as I can remember. I've been on Earthenring since about 2007.
Yeah.
So, that's determination right there. So... I'm laying all that out there so people who don't know you know that that's what you do.
Well, it's either that or insanity. It's one or the other.
Okay, so this insanity... So how... Okay. Tell us the history of Story Night. How did it start? What started this thing?
Well, many moons ago in Thunder Bluff...
No, seriously. The Story Night that we know it started kind of as a guild function with the Tears of Draenor under Cormac. You know that guy.
Oh, man, that guy.
The guy that used to be a host on this podcast.
A guy that used to be a host on Shaw's podcast and then ours.
Yeah, so, you know, Special K was in charge. So.
I did not know that was a nickname.
Oh,
it is now.
Man.
I just made it up for him.
Special K.
That's going to come back to bite him. I promise.
You're welcome, Cormac. well, what it was on Sunday nights, we have a clan gathering at Central Rise in Thunder Plot.
You are coming in and out, sir, at least in my headphones.
Yeah.
Swallow that microphone. Wait, that came off a little
more. Oh, God.
Sorry. That came off dirty.
That came out terrible.
Shaw, I am so sorry.
So it's okay. Sorry. It's not the first time, obviously, so it's fine.
No.
How's now? Is that good?
Yeah.
That is good. Keep
that
going,
is better.
Sir.
Okay, sorry. Back in the day, this is many years ago, Sunday night was actually kind of like a guild function at Thunder Bluff in the Central Rise. Was that an area near Karn at that particular point? And what we would do on Sunday nights, we'd gather there as a guild, and it was open to anyone else who wanted to show up. And it was a point of reference for people to get together, discuss guild stuff, kind of like a guild meeting, but it's very open and in character, and also to catch up with people and allies and new people who are wanting to join the guild. You know, it covered a lot of different ground as far as what we did, the event. Eventually, let's see, I want to make sure I say her name correctly. Ilmenis. There we go, Ilmenis. Took over and did a slight variant where she started going to different locations where we would have like a kind of a story night, but it wasn't really a story night. It was more or less a continuation of what was in Thunder Bluff. When she left the game to take a break, I really liked the old Red Ridge Three Nights. I really liked having that where people got together and kind of told stories by the campfire. But I was thinking, you know, hey, I would like to do something, take what was already there and kind of give a whole spin on it. So I started, getting interest in a thing called Story Night, and we had the first one over in Thunder Bluff. And I rotated around just because there's so many facets of the world and so many cool locations that people.
Hey guys, so if it sounds like I'm talking in a slightly different voice, we had to pause the recording just for 1 second because Shaw's microphone was acting a little funny. So we're going to pick up right where we left off because we've done some testing. We've done some changes. So hopefully it'll go good. Here we go. Picking up where we left off. The origin of Story Night, which is the weekly event that Shaw has hosted for 12 years. And Shaw, you were talking about it, but the Legion invaded your microphone for a little while.
By stupid imps.
Terrible.
Bad. Very, very bad. So we got rid of them, got our shards, and now we're all good. So, sir, take it away.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Story Night started as a guild event by the Tears of Draenor, the Horde Guild that Shaw joined. I came over to kind of help out because Alliance RP was like at a high point and there wasn't that much going on. Not as much as there could be going on board. So I got in there, got in with the Tears by accident. They had a guild event, which was more or less a point on the Sunday night where the guild would get together, have a guild meeting if needed. Also to catch up with people, tell tales of adventures and such, depending on what everyone's activity was. Later on, and this was held over at Thunder Bluff at the Center Rise, where that open area is outside of Ed Van Karn's tent. Ilnemus took it over at a certain point and started taking it on the road, you could say, and went to some different locations to kind of do the same thing, but make it more open. It was open anyway, but, to kind of advertise it a little. When she left the game, I didn't really want to see Story Night, fade away. So I decided, I'll host the thing. So I got things together, got a plan up as far as like how to do what I wanted to do with it, and basically started to take the event and give it a horde spin and have it at different locations to kind of like play off the facets of the horde, because there's so many diverse roads that lead into the horde collective, call it. And it kind of went from there, and I've been kind of doing it every Tuesday night around 8 o'clock server time ever since.
That's so fantastic.
Ralph, yeah, just the summary again is, and you know, I hear this happening so often with so many events and even roleplay guilds, because running roleplay events and guilds are hard, and oftentimes these things tend to kind of fizzle out after the first month, and then when they get over that first month hump, then they kind of fizzle out maybe at the 6 month hump.
Yeah.
Once they start getting past those, then at that point there's some kind of magical power to all of them that are probably going to get them through most things. But
this one
started Alliance side, but you just took up the banner for the Horde and went for it.
Yeah, I wanted to do something equally as good on the Horde side, because there just wasn't that many events. Because Horde is really hard to nail down in one area. That's why there's no real hubs, at least on our server. And I wanted to have at least something reoccurring where I can't even talk. Here we go. English is a hard. I want something where veterans, you know, role players can come in, and also more important, well, equally important, newbies, new role players, or people who are just interested, or just like, what are they doing over there? I wanted to give them something to kind of like, oh wow, this is kind of cool. Let's go check this out and just sit in, have fun, a no hassle RP event. So you don't have to bring a story. I've got a few that I have pretty much on tap, ready to go. And I wanted something that's really a no-hassle, kind of like get your feet wet. Actually find out that there is RP on this server, because for a lot of people, no one really knows. You know, they say, well, where's the RP? And it's like, well, sometimes you got to look for it. It doesn't come to you.
Exactly.
So
it's not always about someone else starting role play. Sometimes you have to be the one to start it.
Yeah. I do have an interesting quick story.
Sure.
I was at Far Watch Post. This is as you're going out of into the Barrens. There's this bridge that goes from Razor Hill and that area that connects with the Barrens. And there's a post there. And I had a story night there as a random location. And I had people sending me tales or whispers through the evening, wanting to know if I was real or a bot. And if this was a scripted event. Yes.
So they wanted to know the robot. You're the robot.
Oh, they thought you were like an NPC or something like that?
Yeah. Or a dev that's doing some kind of in-game scripted event. Because, you know, there's that dwarf one near the starting area for the dwarves. There's this like little mini storyline that they have going there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, someone was thinking that was the same thing going on at our location. So they were trying, are you real?
Are you real?
I said, I don't know, am I leveling? It's like, what?
Oh my goodness,
wow.
That's fantastic.
So you almost reached like DM God level.
I guess. It was scary.
Good for you. You're like, am I? You know,
Yeah, honestly, it's fantastic. That makes me just appreciate the game even more when something like that actually happens.
Yeah. And that was the first time they actually saw RP. They actually stayed, and they actually had, you know, sent me a tale later or whispered to say, hey, I had a really good time. Thank you.
That's actually really nice that they actually had that extra thought at the very end to kind of send you that thank you, because that doesn't always happen, because people can have a lot of fun and be like, that was awesome, and then they log off.
Yeah,
you know, and you'll never know that they had a great time. So when you have that little extra piece of feedback, you're like, all right, well, that worked.
Yeah, what's honestly funny about this game, for the fact that it's been out for almost 12 years now, more than a decade, is a lot of people don't realize that World of Warcraft as an MMO is also a role-playing game.
Yeah.
And they don't even think that there is people that really orient and go to this game simply for the role-play. There's people that who have never partaken, or however you want to say it,
partaken
in a Warcraft universe before, but they go to it because there's just so much roleplay in it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fantastic, honestly.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of story.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly, a ton of story, and it just so much story, to the point that yesterday when we were role-playing at Beggar's Haunt, we were on our Demon Hunters, and these Demon Hunters were like, wait, there are Death Knights in the world, and these are not the Death Knights that we knew? Who are these Death Knights? They're just little things like that that role-players really hone in on, and yes, and so we are on a smaller server, so we don't have the role-play hubs that a lot of other servers that may that they may have. So it really kind of comes down to what do you want to create today? Grab as many friends as you can and start role-playing. But that seems to be changing with CRZs and other things going on, but I think we can maybe focus on that on a different podcast.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I set up like the RP channels on Horde and Alliance, for the Horde, for the Alliance. Originally, that's what it was for, to kind of coordinate RP with everyone. And so it's like, hey, I'm looking for it. Where is it? You know, that kind of thing. So, and also for community.
Yeah,
exactly. And well, by the way, speaking of, so you use a lot of in-game channels to kind of advertise where Story Night is. So as you mentioned, yeah, you do. You're like, oh, yes, I do. Okay, so Story Night changes location every week, which is a big reason why in this podcast today we're going to talk about our top 10 places to roleplay in the world of Warcraft. And we thought, oh, this is perfect, because Shaw has been going to different places throughout the years.
Yes.
But we'll get to that in a little bit. But okay, Sean, you started talking about this while we were doing testing, and I thought this would be a cool question to ask you. How do you determine a location for a story night? And you started even talking about criteria that it had to meet. So I really wanted you to go on about that in the show.
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple of things that I kind of like a checklist. It's mental. I have it on my site too. But I look for things where first thing off, can a low-level character actually get to the location without too much of a fuss? I mean, obviously, there is some places that, you know, yeah, you might take a hit or two or something like that, but I try to avoid those just because I want safe places for people to gather. Because it's kind of silly to have a story night in the war zone. Okay? You know, it just makes sense that, you know, if you're being shot by arrows, probably telling that tale is not a good idea. Should
you'll
be
have a
dodging.
Story. Yeah. You'll have a great story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The night we all tried to sit down and have a beer while we were getting shot at.
Exactly. Which happens to me in Duskwood sometimes, because that's where I frequent a lot, because that's where Shaw's from.
Well, Shaw's a Forsaken, so I'm sure he's not welcomed home by the Night Watch.
Well, he's actually an independent undead, much like Blind Mary. The problem is, they don't really understand that.
Yeah, if anything, Duskwood really kind of wouldn't care.
Right.
It's like the one place that's really super sick of undead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even go into the Undercity because it's just a little too much for me. It's like, no, if I
so
want my grave,
kinda,
I'll go in.
He's kind of similar to how the Forsaken and the Arathi Highlands are. They don't want really anything to do with Sylvanas.
Yeah, well, I'm just independent. I'm just basically, I'm doing my own thing. Shaw is really trying to be as human as he can based on, you know, obviously his mortally challenged form.
So, mortally challenged?
Mortally challenged.
Mortally challenged.
Yes,
mortally
or mortality challenged, whichever one you want.
I am...
All right. Sorry, I went off script here, I think. So
I don't think we had a script. What?
Well, my mental script.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't think we have a script. I never use it.
Well, the criteria definitely low-be friendly, not getting shot at, just period, because you know, that's unpleasant.
Yeah, I also look for how populated the place is. Is there a lot of NPCs? And if there's not too many NPCs, is there a lot of emotes, a lot of chatter, a lot of like a scripted event, which may throw off things in the middle of the RP event? All right, that's usually something, because if someone's yelling or if there's a battle in the middle of the thing, I mean, obviously that might be fine every once in a while, but every few seconds.
Yeah,
it's like spam at that particular point. And since your chat window, you know, is only so big and you can only keep up with it so fast, you don't want this wall of text, you know, being like cycled through like constantly, so you can't keep up with the story.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, and The other thing I look for is whether or not the place has some aesthetics, something that looks nice as well. I mean, does it fit? Is there a reason to be there? In other words, like, I mean, you could clear out, like, Karazhan and have something there, I guess. But, you know, you just got to think of the reason why you're setting up there.
You know? Yeah, it has to make sense, almost.
Yeah, yeah, there has to be some rationale, because otherwise you're kind of putting everyone as a fish out of water. You're putting a place that they don't need to be.
You're very literally squatting in Karazhan with no reason.
Yeah, yes. It'd be like, kind of like, why would a gnome be showing up in a night elf culture or something like that? It needs to make almost sense to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I will not have story night at Molten Core.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a little bit toasty there. It's perfect during the winter.
You'll always have a campfire going.
That's true. You might be the campfire, depending on the situation.
But
depends on how much fire resistance you pack on your gear.
But speaking of Molten Core and other locations, we do have our top 10 to get to.
We do. I guess I only had one more question for Shaw in regards to Story Night. This comes as somebody who I pop on a horde alt on occasion, and I totally like to go. It's relaxing to me. It's fun. Occasionally, I ride a story.
Nobody knows who you are.
That too. It's actually kind of nice. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I just sneak over there, and I'm like, oh. Shaw, you tell a lot of stories on Story Night. Do you... So what makes you come up with these stories? These are a lot of stories that you have to come up with. Do you have, like, favorites that you repeat? Do you come up with something new every time? What inspires you? Are you on watching TV and you're like, that'd make a good story? And then you put a little World of Warcraft spin on it? Like, what do you got? What do you do there?
What, madness to the method?
Yes. First it was insanity. Now we're talking about madness. So.
Well, you know, Legion and Whispers and all that kind of stuff. You know,
yeah, seriously.
Some
this expansion.
Points in there if we have to. For stories, to tell you the truth, some of my stories can be the in-game books that are actually in the game.
Nice. I kind of like that, actually, because a lot of those are overlooked.
Yeah. Now, you have to be careful with those, because sometimes, for stories, I usually like to try to keep it anywhere from 5 to 15's pushing it, 15 minutes, because attention spans, and also you want time for other people if they have something to be able to tell it. Because I've had events where I've had, like, you know, upwards toward 30 people, and I actually have people who want to tell stories, so I have to put a queue up in the chat, you know, in the out-of-character RP chat, to say, okay, who's next? Who's next? I mean, it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen sometimes. So the in-game books have a lot of different things, and some of them are actually kind of cool, and that they express the lore and other bits in the game, and it's like, you know, it's like, where'd you get that? And it's like, well, it's here. You know, I found this in Dalaran, you know, or I found this over here somewhere. And that kind of gets people going, hey, well, that maybe I need to go there.
Yeah, and then they go out into the world and hunt for these books.
Yes, yes. WoWpedia has been really good, and also WoWhead sometimes does really good as far as, like, pointing you in the right direction of where these things are. And sometimes some things are actually in quests. So you can, like, you know, the things you read that you don't really read but you turn in, sometimes there's actually stories hooked up with those. Not often, but you never know.
Yeah, they say right-click to read, because you picked up somebody's diary in the course of this, and it's been this whole dramatic thing, and then you end up selling it to a vendor like some kind of jerk.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, here's some paper.
Yeah, seriously. Pause to read this stuff. Some really, sometimes sad.
Yeah.
Give me my silver.
I think Frostfire really took the cake for me with the two lovers that were frozen in the snow.
Yeah.
And the letters between them, I think that was
an example.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Frostfire starting quests, everybody, if you want to have a little tear to your eye.
Exactly.
I don't even think it's a starting quest, it's just like an Easter egg.
I can't remember now.
Yeah, it's not an actual quest, it's just something if you stumble across, you could find the items and the letters.
Shaw, if you don't know about this yet, that's a story for your story night, by the way. Go find those letters.
That's fine, I have no problem with doing that. As far as other stories, normally I try to pick ones that I research a lot of different cultures and their stories, like a lot of Japanese, Chinese stories, fables, tall tales, and other little things. I kind of convert over to a Pandaren format. Native American, or actually Eskimo, you know, basically those type of things, basically Alaskan tales, can make really good Tauren stories.
They really can. So much of the Tauren culture seems to be based on Native American culture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're just kind of taking what's given and giving it a little bit of a spin. You know, same thing with troll stories and everything. I mean, basically, you're kind of drawing from real life, which all of it is kind of, you know, they're plucking little bits. So basically, you're trying to take stuff that's already kind of grounded in the real world and adding it into the world of Azeroth. And the cool thing is, because there's just enough there to kind of anchor it, it actually fits better in when you tell the tale in on story night, or whenever you tell a story or a song or a verse or something like that to someone in game.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, Shaw, then, in that case, what's your bit of advice to give to somebody, some prospective person who's either currently running an event and they're burning out, because that's happened to people. As someone who's run events myself, occasionally you're like, how can I keep going? Or someone who wants to start an event for the first time. What's your piece of advice to someone who's been doing this for a while?
Okay. I want to touch back on one thing real quick.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. I do write my own stories, and some of those are just inspired from, say, the old Night Gallery show from back in the 70s, where there was like a twist, and it was kind of a thriller type thing. To it, and other tales. And sometimes I write tales. Sometimes I get spontaneously put on to do something because someone will give me a subject and I'll roll with it. So
a little improvisation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That tends to be a little stressful because I'm trying to weave the story while I'm telling the story and hope that I don't go like off into crazy land. So, to get back to question you asked, tips. Don't give up on your story night. Expect not a great turnout at the beginning. A lot of people will do an event and go, no one showed up. You know, give it time. You got to advertise. And also, if no one knows to go there, they're not going to go. So you have to kind of like advertise it well. Have a plan. You know, kind of like have a kind of a itinerary or some kind of loose idea of what you're doing for the event. And it kind of goes back to what I was doing for story night as far as locations, finding the right place, making sure that there's not a battle or some kind of weird NPC thing that's really going to throw off what you're trying to do. Like, it's really, really bad to have a fight break out at a wedding that's not, you know, I mean,
not dwarven.
Yeah, not
if it's not a dwarven wedding, there should
be at least three fights.
Yeah, well, there you go.
At least three.
Yeah, but coordinating it and think that sometimes you can't do it alone. Some people think, oh well, I can do this. Sometimes you need help, and sometimes people are willing to help. It's like for me, sometimes with some locations, like if I'm doing one in the Whispering Forest, I know we'll get to that in a minute. Somewhere, but you might need a warlock to bring people in, or someone with a mount if they really want to be helpful. Bring someone on their mount to the location, or or a mage to send a portal if we were having it at one of the cities or one of the other locations. I mean, it's nice to have people to help you, but they don't know to help you unless you ask.
Yeah.
Those are really, really great tips. So you can't see me, but I was nodding my head. Yeah. Just
I was nodding my head in an audio podcast.
So, I know. I'm so happy.
Like a dork.
Yeah. Well, I have a bunch more on the links you have for me. So basically, people can look it up. And also, I have ideas for said events. Because there's a whole lot of things. There's not just story night you can do with this stuff. So it applies to almost anything you want to do. It's just nice to have some basics and then adapt it to whatever you're trying to accomplish, what kind of event, and who you want to come.
Yeah.
Okay, so that, in that case, guys, shout out. I'm adding all these links actually in the actual episode post on lorecast.org.
Fantastic.
So RP Made Simple is made by Shaw, and he maintains just a lot of great advice for new and veteran role players, no matter what server you're on. And a lot of the stuff he just talked about is on there. So it's a great resource. I use it a lot. Just really helps. I can send people there too because they're like, what's metagaming? Yes, you still get people asking that question after 12 years because they're new to RP.
Yeah.
And you could just point them there. So, Shaw, thank you so much for letting us talk about that. And you're right. We're going to start talking about all these locations.
To the list!
Okay, so prior to the call, we actually got together. We had our own lists, and we kind of combined them into one list. And these are not the definitive top 10 places to roleplay.
But just the combined.
Yeah, this is what we love. And so we're really curious to hear what you guys love as well. We chose 4 Alliance, 4 Horde, and 2 Neutral.
Yes.
Just to be fair, we have a couple honorable mentions too. Honorable mentions are there because a lot of these places are not accessible anymore, so we felt that they didn't quite apply.
We'll include the honorable mentions in the post for the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But really curious to hear what you guys have, and I guess we'll kick it off. So maybe we should go through, we'll say top 10, but I guess these aren't going to really
the Alliance.
Yeah, we'll start with the Alliance, then we'll go with the Horde. We'll end on neutral. Is this okay?
The best for last, yeah.
The best for last. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Can we just say, since maybe...
Well, Mox is not here. I gotta do something. I gotta represent a Horde, I guess.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing? It's from The Broken Shore, but I feel like enough time has passed, so I can say it now.
Spoilers.
King Varian Wrynn gave the Alliance a very good reason to say for the Alliance. And
you got rocked.
Really mean it. So thank you, King Wrynn.
Listen, I hate to burst your bubble.
Okay.
No, that's it, because he kind of went...
Well, yeah, I know, but what famous last words? It was just boring.
It was for the Alliance.
It was for the... Okay, anyways, to the...
Gul'dan was saying, you'll be known as the king that died for nothing, and then he's like, for the Alliance, and then he goes...
I know, but it's so... He just growls it. He looks at him like, for the Alliance. It was so good. Okay.
But yes... To the list.
So, the 4 areas that we really like for the Alliance, and this is just out in the world. How about, let's see. So this was on both my list and Shaw's list.
Yay.
This is actually in Dalaran, but it's in a part of Dalaran where if you try to go there on Horde, you'll actually get kicked out. The Hero's Welcome and Beer Garden.
That's
in Dalaran.
Place.
So Shaw, why did you choose this place? Now I'll say where I chose it too.
Well, there's beer. No,
it's easy. No,
it's a great little... I mean, there's a lot of different little areas in there. You have, this balcony that's in the back. You have the front area tavern of the Hero's Welcome as you go in, and it's not too cluttered. There's actually chairs you can sit in, which is like awesome and a half. And then you go back, and then over the balcony, you see the beer garden, which could be almost any kind of celebration, wedding... Getting with some pals and just getting snockered.
Yeah. And there's no other place like it in the game.
Yeah.
That particular
it's a nice little area.
Yeah, that particular tavern location is reused for the Laedermain Lounge in Dalaran, but that beer garden is unique.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I chose it. Just the lounge itself, you can kind of overlook it because the Laedermain is very simple, but... The beer garden, I remember when we found it in the game and just how excited we got.
I forgot completely that it was a place, honestly.
It's not on Kanta's list.
We forgive you.
That's okay. I have other good places.
He does, yeah. Kanta did contribute to the list, too. So, okay, the second place. Again, not really putting like these guys in hierarchies, is the cathedral in Stormwind. The actual cathedral itself in Stormwind City.
That's okay. It's just okay.
I guess what I can talk about the cathedral is it's just such a huge area. Before the gazebo area was put in, it actually had more rooms and it had 2 libraries. There's also that torture area underneath. That's a little creepy. But that's what's kind of neat about the cathedral is that you can get the sort of holy light pure role play, and then you can kind of get, if you go down into the tombs area, kind of the more creepy Scarlet Crusade, maybe.
Yeah.
Stuff.
You would mention the cathedral as your top list just because you're a paladin.
I played a paladin for 11 years. And it was on Shaw's list as well. But Shaw, you have a different reason for choosing the cathedral, and it has to do with roleplay.
Yeah. Back in the day, there was Sunday services to the light with Felina and Father Ty. That would have Sunday services of the light, like I said, and they would have a story and a kind of a worship service on Sunday mornings. And then in one of the little rooms off to the side, there would be kind of like a social afterward where people could get together and talk and, maybe go off on an adventure from there or talk about things you know, in character, and it was really nice to have that, that kind of activity or that kind of event going on, because it made it feel like, oh wow, this has a purpose, this has something going on inside it, and it kind of brought it alive.
It feels like a real cathedral. It's not the place you go to learn your paladin and priest talents. Like, you are using it for regular church services.
Right.
Correct.
It's also, it's also a great wedding location.
Yes.
And the gazebo that they put in the back, which we can include too, is also a really great location. I've actually seen the gazebo area used for even small, like, lessons and classes, because it has sort of a classroom set up with all the little benches.
Mm.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is super nice. And plus, there's also the orphans. So the orphanage is right next door. Okay, this next one we'll actually let Kanta talk about, because this was on his list too. All
right, so this was on my list. I don't know where it was on the list, but regardless, it's Kirkhaven and the Twilight Highlands. And if you know anything about the Twilight Highlands lore, it was previously known as... As the name rolls off my tongue, and I can't even say it. It belonged to the Wildhammer Dwarves way before the Dragonmaul, and then eventually the Faceless and Twilight Cultists came in. So, honestly, the whole land is more Dwarven-based, and that's one of the only fully constructed Dwarf towns that are still there. And you have a RP where you actually have a... I think it's a marriage between two separate Wildhammer clans, of them uniting and everything, and them resulting the wedding after party fighting off either Dragonmaw orcs, or it's Twilight Cultists. One of the two, but either or, a great end to the marriage. But it's a very awesome, very nicely aesthetic Wildhammer home.
It is. It's such a neat location, and you're right. This is why whenever we were talking about Dwarven weddings before, they had to have at least three fights. Because your character totally presides over this wedding at the end of this quest line, and of course it gets invaded, and so these drunk dwarves that are not wearing their weapons just beat the crap out of the interlopers and send them back home, and then go back to partying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in true dwarven fashion.
Oh yeah. Exactly. The next one on the list is actually mine too.
Okay, that's true. Okay, Kanta, you can go ahead and talk about this one too.
Yeah, two in a row. Let's go. Alright, so Feathermoon Stronghold for Ellis. Honestly, Night Elf territory, so you know I know it best.
Can't just play a Night Elf for...
11 years. 11 plus. And Feathermoon Stronghold is actually the second Feathermoon Stronghold, because since the Cataclysm, the island that was off the coast of Ferellis has since been taken over by Naga. As well as Earthquake and... I think it was Flooding that was done to the town. But Feathermoon Stronghold, the renewed edition... is a complete Alliance / Night Elf Sentinel, kind of, as a dog throws off my complete train of thought. It's a Night Elf, like, army. I mean, they have all their glaive throwers, all their troops there. That is the central hub of all their Sentinel armies. So it's pretty fantastic, honestly.
And as far as Alliance hubs go on Kalimdor, it's actually their only port left, other than Ruthren Village, but I wouldn't really count Ruthren as a port.
That's completely destroyed at this point, but they have Darnassus as a port.
That's true, yeah. So other than an actual capital city after Theramore went boom, literally.
Do you mean Ruthren as in Darkshore, or do you mean off the coast of Teldrassil?
Yeah, off the coast of Teldrassil. It's kind of a port.
Yeah, I mean, they still technically have Teldrassil as a port, but Darkshore was previously, but it's since been wrecked.
Yeah, really. As far as Alliance places go, a lot of those places got wrecked.
Yeah. So, yeah. Those are my two favorites for Alliance.
Yeah, that actually finishes up Alliance. So, yeah, we have a really awesome dwarf town that if you want to have, like, fun dwarf roleplay or just be in that location, recommend it. Feathermoon Stronghold, straight up. If you want to know what a Night Elf army looks like, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a Sentinel Guild or just Night Elves, it's a fantastic place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now we're going into the Horde.
Yes.
How about shall you take this one? Because this was on my list too, but you put it on yours, and you had more to say about it because you've hosted some story nights here.
Yeah, this is a really nice location, that sometimes doesn't get a lot of love by Horde, because basically it's part of the quest area through the Stone Talons. It's Sunrock Retreat. That's a really nice little poured out settlement that's in the middle of the Stone Talons. One awesome thing about it is that huge tent that you have, and it's right next to the Flight Master, and there's the little lake water area with the stepping stones, the bridge, and there's just a lot of places to gather, do things, and just walk around and kind of like, you know, just see what's around going on in the area.
Yeah, exactly. I chose this area because a long time ago on a server far, far away, I was on Twisting Nether, and a roleplay PvP server as Horde, and we leveled through Stone Talon, but I just remember coming up the hill and coming onto Sunrock for the first time, and it left that big of enough impression on me that I still think of it to this day. And I love popping over there for roleplay. It's such a beautiful area.
Yeah. Well, one of the cool things about it, it's kind of like when in the desert and you see an oasis. It has that kind of feeling to it.
Yeah, it really does, because Stone Talon is a very unforgiving place, and on an RP PvP server, there was a level 60 paladin at that time that was swooping down and killing all of us.
Yeah.
So I was really happy to get to the Sunrock Retreat. I was like a little wee 20-something shaman running for my life. Do you want to do this one, Kantek? Anyone can do this one.
I don't know if I'm any good at that one. I don't know that one that well.
I actually think that Shaw will be the best at this one. This is the Wayfarer's Rest in Silvermoon. I've been there a couple times, but you've been there more than me.
Yeah, yeah. I this is the place, the party in Silvermoon. it's really cool. Two of my friends, Eve and Take, they have a tavern night there on Thursdays, which is really kind of cool because that's a nice little place just to kind of gather around. Now, granted, orcs are going to be going, where's the dirt?
That's when I went there on my orc, I thought to myself, what a culture clash. You know, there are no thatch mats on the floor. They're fluffy, colorful pillows. And just the only thing that's familiar is I think maybe there's a hookah or two still in there.
Yeah, there is. There's on the second floor in some of the rooms. There's like, you know, next to the comfy pillows.
And the silks that drape from the ceiling and just stuff that orcs would be like, why is this here?
That's right. Take me down to Supermoon City with the...
No.
It is Stop a beautiful... It is a beautiful location, though. I remember I had to come back on a Blood Elf so my character didn't feel so fish out of water.
Yeah. So it's really good. The contrast is that is if you go into a Horde location and you're a Blood Elf and they're going, I am not sitting on that.
Yeah. You're right, though. The Horde, they all come into the Horde from different paths. So these locations are so different from each other.
There's a lot of culture shock, depending on your situation and, you know, what race you're playing, as opposed to, I have to deal with those people. You know, that kind of thing.
Those people?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, seriously. But you know what? Guess what?
I think, you're right. Because a human can go to Kirkhaven and feel pretty comfortable. And they can go to Feathermoon and feel pretty okay, too. But, you know, a Blood Elf sitting on the dirt floor is not cool, and a Tauren trying to squeeze into a teeny little Blood Elf chair is hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, we had some issues where basically, you know, it's like you have to be this high to, you know, or just this short to ride this ride as far as, like, a location, because it's like, you know, that Tauren's not going to fit. Or if we have, like, six Tauren, it's like, oh, wow, that's not going to do. We're going to move it outside, guys.
You have to accommodate everybody.
A squeaky chair. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My square. My chair is squeaky. I'm sorry.
Can't just stop humping your chair.
I'm moving closer.
But the Wayfarer is a really nice location. The second floor is awesome. And you have, the railing from the second looking down, to the ground floor. You have a bar that's more or less open, so you can like have someone who wants to play bartender or wait staff, whatever you want to do. And then you have like the rooms there, which are fairly, you know, large, that you could actually have either smaller conversations or group things if you want to do something.
So it's a really diverse location, enough that you can kind of do different things. And I can even see some backroom dealing happening in some of those upstairs rooms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can almost do that in any tavern, but it just depends on what taverns, like, feel good, and also depending on who you are and where you're going and what you're meeting about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, actually, speaking a little bit about Tauren.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that one, Kanta, since you got a little excited?
Well, I mean, Theater on Central Rise for Thunderbluff, it's a really unique location just because, well, Thunderbluff is very unique in general. It's, what, like hundreds of feet in the, elevated in the land with elevators surrounded all around it. It's probably one of the most defensible capitals around next to Ironforge, just simply because unless those elevators are compromised, you could just shut it down entirely. You would need an air force to really attack Thunderbluff. But going into detail about this central rise, it's just a really nice area where you could have a lot of you know, events going on, because you have this literal stage almost. It's perfect because you have seats and placements all around the area where you could kind of just sit down and tune into what's going on. And Thunder Bluff in general is a beautiful capital city.
It really is. I actually role-played there recently on my Torin, and John was making me laugh because apparently this is where Story Night originated, and the Alliance, speaking of like a defensible area, totally tried to attack Thunder Bluff during it, and it apparently didn't go so well.
Mm. Yeah. It does not
surprise me.
Well, every once in a while, you know, this was more so back in the day, you know, you would have like these raid groups that would go and try to trash, you know, the bluff and kill Karn, you know, and all that. And it was during like one of our events, and someone thought, hey, this would be a great idea to do it tonight. And it just happened to be when most of the tears were there and the friends of the tears.
This was probably the tears in their prime, too.
Yeah, this was a large roleplay guild, horrid roleplay guild that was on Earth and Ring, and quite a few of them PvP'd regularly.
Oh, by the way. Mox included.
Yes.
So basically, it was a rough night to be Alliance on that one.
Yeah.
I don't think the For the Horde achievement was probably around back then, but they certainly wouldn't have got it that night.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, then we have one more Horde location, then we're going to talk about the two neutral locations that'll wrap up the official list. We have honorable mentions, too. But the final Horde location is the Filthy Animal in Dalaran.
Before and this place... we kick the Horde out.
Oh, yeah. Before stuff happened in Dalaran, by the way.
Oh.
There was a misunderstanding.
Yes. Oh, that's a nice way of putting it. that got a little scary. So in Dalaran, there was a moment in Mists of Pandaria when Dalaran was used as a way to kind of retreat and steal something from the Alliance. I'm not going to go into humongous detail. Jaina lost it. I mean, this is somebody who lost Theramore to the Horde, someone who prior to that had been really diplomatic and trying to kind of bring the Horde in to be allies with the Alliance. And then she found out that, you know, not only did they destroy her home and everything she stood for, but then they kind of used Dalaran, her kind of new place she's in charge, as like a back door to run away.
Yeah.
So she like walked through the streets and chased down terrified Sun Reavers, and one by one teleported their terrified asses right out of
Well, she killed a lot of them. She killed a lot of them, but if they ran, she let them run. But if the ones that stayed and fight, she just straight up killed. But the nice thing with Dalaran coming back as the main central hub for Legion is that Horde, technically, as far as lore goes, will have the Filthy Animal back.
Yes, you're going to get it back, Shaw. Sorry we kept it for so long.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'd love to have that place open for Story Night. The problem is, like, lore-wise, it's been very difficult to kind of rationalize. That's the same, basically going back to what I was talking earlier. It's like, well, why would we be there?
Yeah, you know? it would be a scary, possibly dangerous place to be.
Yeah. My only thing I'm hoping for is that they'll do like they did with the Northrend Dalaran, where a Lobby with a couple of gold can actually fly there.
That's right. Yeah, you basically take a port and then you fly there.
I think portals would be set up for the new Dalaran with where it's positioned.
Yeah, the old location, you could just pay the guy. You could take the boat to to wherever your flight path was for Horde or Alliance, and you just give them a few gold, and they'll ship you whether you're first level or 100th level. They'll send you straight to Dalaran, and then you can have that as your cool place to go, and also you can have access to the Filthy Animal and all that. So that was kind of neat. I hope they do that for this new one.
Yeah, I actually really hope so too. The Filthy Animal is also a unique tavern layout that is nowhere else in World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Only about two nights ago, we found Dalaran in Deadwind Pass. It's currently there, and all the NPCs are a little bit freaked out that they recently got moved. and they'll let you, if you are Alliance, you can now go into the Filthy Animal in Dalaran over Deadwin. And wow, I just have to be super jealous of that place because it's so cool.
It's a wonderful area.
Well, you should be jealous.
But the one thing that made me laugh is, okay, so the running joke is Horde never has chairs. They never have chairs in any location. They occasionally do, but for the most part, it's like the Alliance has some kind of like monopoly on chairs. And the chairs in the Filthy Animal seem to be like upturned buckets with like weapons stuck in them. So I'm not sure if I would want to sit on it. Yeah. I just thought it was funny. The one place with chairs, they were not quite chairs.
Yeah. If you notice, the tables are basically, like in the Filthy Animal, they're actually where you can cook the food.
Yeah. I saw that. Like, there was like a big pot roast on there. Like,
yes.
There you go.
Yes. You can eat, you know, you don't have to go anywhere and go get your food. There's no, you know, it's like, no, I'm going to eat it here. Just slap it down and cook it.
Yeah, so if you're Alliance, go to the Filthy Animal right now. Take the screenshots while you can. Pretty sure you'll be able to access it later. The two neutral ones, guys, are you ready?
Yes, let's wrap up this list.
Okay, so Sean, you get to talk about this one because you're definitely the one that brought this up.
All right. This little area is tucked in the Barrens at one of your beginning dungeon hubs. Quest hubs that they have there. It's in the Wailing Caverns. More specifically, it is in the skull. Sometimes you can't see that because it's right in front of your face. You just see this big open maw on the side of the mountain. But if you back it off a little bit, you see that it's actually a skull. And maybe that's why it's wailing. Who knows? But we're looking at in the left eye. If you go around the skull as it is and you drop down, you'll go right into the old quest hub that there used to be where the druids were. And it's a nice little spacious cavern with a campfire, blankets, and other little things hanging off the walls. And it's a nice little place to have like a little secret hidey hole, basically, where you can get together and roleplay.
And this is not the only little hidey hole. We also, these aren't on the list, but I linked them inside the podcast post. The Wanderer's Festival and the Whispering Forest are two other really rare places in Warcraft that people just kind of don't know about. And those particular places, it's a scripted event that'll happen in the game, and you'll get a pet out of it. So just fun food for thought. Yeah, I'm going to actually check out the Eye of the Wailing Caverns probably after this show, because I'm curious now to see, because you've described it to me twice now.
I'll take you there.
Okay, I'll go to my horde. That'd be great. We go on.
Either way, I'm good.
Senpai noticed me.
Oh my god!
I'm actually kind of bouncing. Oh, shut up, Kanta.
You're ridiculous.
Bouncing in my seat.
But yeah, the
last one's yours, sir.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. So the last one, and it's actually another one that I chose with Uther's Tomb in Western Plaguelands, and the development between Western Plaguelands from pre-Cata to now has made Uther's Tomb a absolutely beautiful area. Whether you're a paladin, you know, saying your prayers to Uther, or whether you're Alliance or Horde that's just dedicated to a hero that fought for the cause against the Scourge. Honestly, Western Plaguelands being as beautiful as it is now, even though it's still going through changes, is a perfect, perfect zone for neutral, Horde, or Alliance roleplay.
Yeah, it's so true. It's about as close to Lordaeron as you can get. And I don't mean geographically, I mean just how it used to be.
Yeah. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up the list. I mean, we do have several honorable mentions that we'll put into the post. But, I mean, that list was fantastic. I really loved the collaboration we put together for that. Obviously, listeners are going to have different opinions for their top 10, but I think that's a good list, honestly.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other places, too. I mean, you know, it just depends on where you're at, and like you were saying, just personal preference and what works for you.
So, yeah.
We scratch the surface, kind of.
Exactly. And also what you've roleplayed in the past. I'm really curious to hear from fellow roleplayers where they've roleplayed in the past for events, mm-hmm. whether it be character plots or just massive, massive things. So just really curious. Post them in the comments. And talking about comments, we have a lore challenge.
Yes, we do.
And the rule is Kanta can't answer it. And Shaw, that rule's going to have to apply to you too.
She's what? Mean like this.
I apparently am mean about
what
this.
Sorcery
so.
Is this?
Okay, so the lore challenge. And the way this works is answer lore challenges and either you earn a little spot on the show or we get you a prize from the battle.net shop. You have to get at least 5, though. So here's episode 3 lore challenge. Are you ready?
No.
He's not. Okay, We're not doing it then?
I'm ready.
Okay,
now.
Cool.
You're not prepared.
Go.
You are not prepared. What place did Bane rally more Braves to retake Thunderbluff from the Grim Totem Rebellion? One more time.
Some Torn flavor tonight.
I'm sorry, Sean. Just message me Walmart.
You're welcome.
I'm supposed to repeat the lore challenge, but I can't because I'm like, all right, guys, goodness. We're going to Walmart.
Repeat it one more time.
What place did Bane rally more Braves to retake Thunderbluff from the Grim Totem Rebellion? Good luck. Looking forward to hearing your answers.
Texas Steakhouse?
No, stop. Oh, my. Double-bladed axe special. Thank you, Sean.
But yeah, that should be an interesting lore challenge this week. I didn't expect some Torin flavor added to it.
Good luck, everyone.
Yeah, good luck.
Definitely good luck.
Who's in the lead for the lore challenge right now?
That's actually a good question. Let me take a look. I think we actually have some ties.
I think it was Thrakgar and someone else for the top.
It might have been, let's see.
I think they're either at 2 or 3. I remember that. It was 2 people that were tied, I think.
Oh, it's 3 people now that are tied.
What? I can't do this.
Veleth? Veleth, Thrakgar, and Aseel, they all have 2.
You guys are making this difficult for us. We gotta do stuff that are harder, I swear.
You know what, though? Yeah, I'm kind of in the boat of keep up the good work. Good job, guys. Seriously. We try to make these a little challenging. We certainly spend some time doing research ourselves because we don't want it to be like if you literally type the question out in Google, you get the answer.
Yeah. But, unfortunately, all things good have to come to an end. But I have to first off thank Shaw. Thank you so much for joining us today. Shaw, I've been on Earth Ring on a long time, probably just not quite as long as you have, at least to the presence that you've had to the community, and for everything you've done, both Horde and Alliance, thank you so much. It means a lot. I mean, from someone who's been RPing from as young as I was, seeing you role-playing and putting events together like that, you were a role model. So
you were like the DM.
Oh, dear. Well,
yeah, Sean, it's true.
Thank you. I mean, I just wanted to help people. That's where it all kind of came from, and I'm glad that I'm able to do such and still be doing it. And I really appreciate y'all asking me to come down today. And, you know, everyone just have fun with it, keep role-playing, and just have a great time. That's what the game's for, and take care of yourselves.
Thank you very much, Shaw. And thank you for joining us. I mean, I have butt face over here most of the time. But
we have to end on butt face.
Yes, absolutely.
But no, Shaw, thank you. Oh. Thank you as well. I've not been on Earth and Ring as long. Guys, Shaw's influence stretches more than just Earth and Ring. He provides so many resources out there for all world players. He is truly a DM in World of Warcraft. He's the roleplay DM.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, sir. Yes, and thank you also for coming.
All right.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Shaw. Thank you, Ari. Good luck on this week's... Well, would it be this week's or this episode's? Because we technically do have a flashcast in between as well.
We do, yeah. Well, so, good luck for this episode's lore cast. Or lore challenge.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, good luck on this this episode challenge. Hopefully you guys know your Torin lore and everything like that, because you're going to need it. It's going to be a difficult question. But yeah, Ari, do you want to wrap things up overall, like, and say the goodbyes and everything this week?
Sure, I could do that.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. This is Lorecast with
with Zenkiki.
One more time, ready?
With Zenkiki? Is that what you said?
Oh, Zenkiki. Great character, by the way. Thank you so much for listening. This is Lorecast with Kanta and Ari.
Peace out.